All right. Today's program, we had Kash Patel on to talk about the Molly Hemingway article that came out. That's incredible what Liz Cheney did in the January 6th. We knew that it was foul play, but this is, again, an actual crime. An actual crime. And it doesn't seem to bother anyone that our trial system, our judicial system, our legislative system is so corrupt that it can railroad anyone. So we have Kash Patel on that, and also the what President Biden said when he didn't know he had a hot mic.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Bibi Netanyahu, you know, you got to come to Jesus.
Okay, funny in so many sad kind of ways and dangerous. We talked about that. And we also talked to you about how to talk to the people that you know that are not rabid anti-Trump and would never vote because Joe Biden is a god, but the people who either are considering and just need some strengthening, or the ones that say, I don't know, I think he's crazy. I think he's... We teach you how to take on three different topics today and talk to those people as you meet them where they are. All on today's podcast, right after this. First, enormous economic upheaval right now, unlike anything that we have ever seen. You have people like Jamie Dimon selling his own stock. Jeff Bezos selling his own stock. There's another one. I can't remember who the other one, and maybe it's Bill Gates. Selling his own stock to the tune of $9 billion between the three of them. That should tell you something. I don't know what it is, but they know something that, you know, you and I don't know. Lear Capital makes it easy to convert an IRA or 401k into a gold or silver IRA. And the best part is there is no tax penalty to do this. Plus, it's easy. Lear can walk you through it in three steps. Please give Lear a call today. Ask for their free wealth protection guide. There's no obligation. You'll get free information on protecting your hard-earned retirement with gold or silver, with $3 billion in trusted transactions, thousands of five-star reviews, 24-hour risk purchase guarantee. So you can, you know, 24 hours, you're like, I made a huge mistake. They have a risk-free purchase guarantee. Lear is the precious metals people that you can trust. Get your free wealth protection guide, and Lear will also credit your account $250 towards your purchase because you're a listener of mine. Call today, 800-957-GOLD, 800-957-GOLD. Lear Capital.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
President Joe Biden, thank goodness, in step with the American people, apologized for describing the suspected killer of Lincoln, a.k.a. Lakin, Hope Riley. He described him as an illegal immigrant during the State of the Union.
I believe he just said illegal.
Oh, he did. He just said illegal.
Didn't even say immigrant.
And people aren't illegal.
Human beings cannot be illegal. All humans are legal.
Oh, my goodness.
I wonder if that applies to babies born in states that have banned abortion. Is that process legal?
Babies born
in states that have banned abortion. A Texas baby that the mom really wanted to kill, just couldn't get around to it because of the law. Are those babies legal? Because they keep telling us everything about it is unconstitutional. Are those babies legal?
Well, I tell you, you know, I think, for instance, Manson, Charlie Manson, you know, the guy with the swastika on his forehead.
I remember him.
Yeah, man. Okay. He's not illegal.
No human is illegal. Yeah.
But what he did was illegal.
Wait, is that how the law works? That human beings can have actions that are illegal?
Yes.
They're not illegal themselves.
So you're not illegal. If you do something, let's say, thinking out of the box here, come into a country.
Okay.
And you're not supposed to be here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so you cross our border.
You're legal.
Illegally.
Oh.
No. you are still a legal human being, but mm-hmm. you've now come to cross purposes with the law.
Right.
So
your
are,
actions are the thing that's, yes, that inform
your
whether
actions you're, mm-hmm. are illegal. And shorthand, we would just call you illegal mm-hmm. instead of having to explain it every time to dummies.
Although you did just have to explain it to a bunch of dummies.
Yes. Yeah. Mainly in the White House.
Yes.
And in Congress. Mm-hmm. Or have a D after their name. The D, by the way, doesn't stand for Democrat. It stands for dummy. So this guy killed Lake and Hope. She was a nursing student. He brutally killed her, kidnapped her during the State of the Union address. He was confronted by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who yelled, say her name, because he had never mentioned her name. And that's when he called her Lincoln. Okay, no, it's Lakin, but good for you for finding a name that starts with an L.
Look, he confused him with a college football coach. Of course that could happen.
Yes, and it was another president, and he was thinking of Civil War.
There you go.
So that really, you know, upset the family of
really?
Lakin.
Yeah.
Lincoln's mom, well, she's been dead for a long time, so she didn't really even notice it. So here's what happened. I was on the plane on Saturday. I had to go to California to give a speech. Ooh, couldn't get out of there fast enough. Anyway, so I'm on the plane. I land, and I said to somebody who was on the plane with me, you have the headlines? He said, yeah, looks like President Biden just apologized for the Lincoln-Riley thing. I said, well, it's only a couple of days late, but at least he did it. And then I got onto my own laptop and started looking at him. I was like, no, that's not what he apologized for. He apologized for calling him illegal. He is from Venezuela. He crossed into the United States illegally. He, you know, of course he was an undocumented person. He comes here. He gets all kinds of help. They catch him at the border. They release him, you know, within an hour or so. They ship him to New York, where he gets, you know, free room and board. I think he also gets a couple of extra free spaces in bingo at the church up in New York. And what does he do? Breaks the law. Goes down to Georgia. Breaks the law. Oh, while I'm here, I might as well kill a woman. This is a really bad guy. And why is it the president had to apologize? You know that was a setup. Do we happen to have the audio by any chance? No. You know this was a setup. He's on MSNBC. And the MSNBC anchor says, so do you feel bad at all about calling him an illegal? Now, why would you ask that? Go ahead. Here it is.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lincoln Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but right. I don't share his view at all.
Right.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This was the White House putting him in a softball situation mm-hmm. and tipping off the interviewer. Hey, ask him about illegal.
Yep, 100%.
100%.
These things do not just happen like
nope.
that.
Nope.
And obviously, in reality, no one cares about whether he said it was illegal. The fact that he didn't know the name was a bigger situation than that. And the fact that you could tell she was trying to goad him into talking about this, right? She wanted him to mention this story, which he would have never mentioned if it wasn't for her. If it wasn't for Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's no way he would have even mentioned it in that speech. And, you know, look, it wound up drawing more attention, which is great. But it's like, it's incredible that that is where we are, where they have to have the media give him softball interviews. At least he's doing the interviews now, I guess.
Well,
I mean, he avoided the Super Bowl interview.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's doing the interview.
It probably didn't have, you know, a lock guarantee that it was going to be, you know, what's your favorite ice cream?
Right.
So he's apologizing that he used the word illegal for somebody who is here illegally, and didn't apologize for his role in allowing this guy to be here. I love all of this lefty bullcrap that, you know, what about all the crimes that were done by legals? Yes, you mean citizens. There's lots of crime done by citizens, absolutely. But there's absolutely no reason to import people who are criminals into this country so they can do crime. We should know who's here. You know what? He's part of a pretty vicious gang. I don't think we let him in. And you, Mr. President, you, Mayorkas, and everybody else involved who has been pushing these policies, their blood is on your hands. Period. Period. And there's a lot of blood on your hands. I mean, should we count the numbers killed in Ukraine? Because that's directly you're directly responsible for that action of Russia. All you had to say was, we're not going to make Russia a part of NATO. That's all you needed to say. And you wouldn't say it. You wanted the war. So her blood, the blood of everybody else that has been injured or killed here in America because you opened the border, Ukraine, all the people really at the Abbey Gate, of course, the 19 Marines, you know, that blood is on. There's a lot. I don't know if I can tally up all of the blood, but there's a lot on your hands. Do you apologize for any of that? No.
I mean, if you're in an interview talking about the Lake and Riley situation, you'd think at the very least, if you're going to ask a question about, hey, did you say illegal wrong? You'd also mention, hey, what about mispronouncing her name?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's almost directly related.
This is so crazy. When did we start worrying about the feelings of the killer? Look what's happened. Stu just brought a very good point. He asked about mislabeling the killer, not about the callousness of not knowing her name, nor reaching out to the family and consoling. How about that one?
And of course, when he did attempt to console from stage, he made it about himself, which is what he does every single time.
Every time. I lost a... Really? Well, not... I know your son was, I guess, in the war. The war wasn't happening in Georgia.
No, also, you know? And he didn't lose him in the war.
I know
he also lost him because of cancer, which, right, again, is terrible, but has nothing to do with the situation they're dealing
cancer
with.
Cancer is a vicious killer, and so is this illegal. He's a vicious killer. Okay, more from the podcast here in just a second. Let me ask you a question. Are you living the life you want to live? Are you doing the things you want to do? And if not, is it because you're living with pain? Even if you're one of the grin and bear it types. My dad used to be this. I'm doing better every day. I'm the opposite of that. I asked my wife. Not a grin and bear it person. Anyway, I had really bad pain for a long time, and it wasn't arthritis. I still don't really know what it was, except a collection of things. Stress does horrible things, and inflammation is the other thing that just causes most disease and most pain. Started taking a daily supplement called Relief Factor. It's not a drug, and it's not something you take when you're in pain. You take it all the time. $19.95 comes with Relief Factors. Feel better, your money back guarantee. Try it. 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com. Now back to the podcast. This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program. This is pretty shocking. President Joe Biden, we know he is, he's not a friend to Benjamin Netanyahu or the Israelis right now. He's pretending to be, but he is also somehow or another, strangely, sending money over to Iran and now sending aid over to Hamas, which I don't mind if it's food and water. I think that is fair. But we are setting ourselves up for a real problem as we are building a dock for the aid. Now, why would we be building a dock? Because every time we drive a truck in, or somebody drives a truck in, Hamas kills the driver and all of the aid workers and then takes the food and burns the truck. So let's try it where there's water, where we could put the fire out, I guess. I mean, I don't know why we don't drop giant packages from the sky if that's what you want to do.
And they are doing that.
Yes.
Of course, but it's not exactly an effective way of...
No, it's a safer way than building a dock. Yeah, I have a problem with the dock building thing.
What's the no boots on the ground line with the... Yeah,
exactly
with,
right.
With the dock, do we know? Like, are they going to build it in the water and they're going to float it over? Is that the line?
I don't know, Stu, but I can guarantee you that... If they kill our soldiers, well, I can't. I was going to say that would draw us in, but maybe not. I mean, apparently there's no price on Americans anymore. There's just no price high enough for us to pay or care.
The question, of course, is strategically, do they think that's the right thing to do? Right? Like they knew they'd take some blowback for raping a bunch of Israelis, but they also knew that was short-lived. Right. The world would be outraged for a week or two, and then they would go back to blaming Israel for everything. So they went along with that. I don't know if they would feel the same way about killing American soldiers. I don't know if that would be as strategically wise for them. Obviously, for them, they believe killing innocent Israelis is just wonderful. But I don't know that they would actually. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they would. It doesn't seem like they have many lines.
Well, the president gave his red line on Thursday's State of the Union, and that is enough, enough. And Benjamin Netanyahu has replied, oh, really? I have a red line, too. You know what our red line is? That October 7th doesn't happen again. Never, ever happens again. I think that's a pretty strong red line. So now we're at cross purposes, but maybe it's just all a misunderstanding. No, actually, no. As Biden was coming in for the State of the Union, he's coming down the pathway, and he stops and he speaks with Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado. Mm-hmm. And what happens? Well, Bennett congratulates Biden on his speech. It's actually when he's walking out. Urge the president to keep pressing Netanyahu, for the humanitarian concerns on Gaza. Blinken was there. Buttigieg was there. And Biden said, quote, I told Bibi, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting, end quote. Okay, probably not the thing to say to... The guy who's the head of the Jewish state, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting.
Terminology is important in this instance, maybe. But there's a lot of weird lines there, let's just say.
Right. But here we go. Here's the audio.
You got to keep pushing what you're doing on the humanitarian stuff and all this stuff. So
I told him, baby, I'm going to get this. I said, baby, you know I can't come to Jesus.
Sir,
Hot mic, mic still on. And that's when he said, I guess we have a hot mic here. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's funny. He says, first, don't repeat this. So he obviously doesn't want to repeat it. And then he acts like it was a good that people heard it. You just did a major speech. You could have put it in there if you wanted people to hear it. But it is, it's a terrible thing, Glenn, because the incentives for him politically right now seem to be, in his mind, to please the crazy left wing of his party.
He'll never please them.
He'll never. They don't never want rice delivered by Doc.
Look at AOC. AOC is
as anti-Israel as you could possibly be.
She is Hamas without a gun. Okay? So here she is. she's absolutely on the side of river to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not good enough.
They'll still
for
harass
the activists
at a movie theater.
Yeah.
Right. And so the incentives are he's trying to please that side, which you can't do with aid. They don't want aid. They don't want aid to Gaza. They're not looking for grain. They want every Jew dead. That's what they want. They don't want couscous. Is that what they're looking for?
I don't know. Couscous is pretty good.
It can be if prepared the right way.
Prepared right. But I don't know if the Navy will prepare it exactly right.
Probably not. Yeah. But I mean, it is like, it's unbelievable. They want from the river to the sea. That's the line they want. They're not looking for aid. That is not what they want. Now, look, there are some people who are just concerned with Palestinians who had nothing to do with October 7th who are suffering. And look, that's, as you point out, a legitimate concern. Now, this is on Hamas. Mm-hmm. This is not Israel's fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is on Hamas. But that being said, of course, you know, you don't want people who had nothing to do with this to suffer. It is an unfortunate side effect of war. When you come across someone's border, well, it's not really a border per se. It's in the same country. But when you come across a fence and a wall and barbed wire and technology and come and rape a bunch of innocent civilians and murder them and decapitate them and burn their bodies many times alive, there are consequences to the group of people, not only who did the action, but also the ones who elected the people who did the action.
Okay, hang on just a second. Let me get this right. So if you come over a border. A wall, something like that.
Sure.
And then you come in, do you have to do the rape and the murder and the kniving and the killing and burning of bodies and people? Or can you just, is it okay just to come over and then, you know, commit crimes and then kill like one person? But you only bash them in the head to kill them. You didn't do, you know, everything that Hamas,
you know, Glenn, did. I'm going to go with you shouldn't be doing that at all. It's a weird line I have.
So we would have a line. We'd have the same line for somebody who came here and did that. Let's say just picking a state out of the air, Georgia.
We should have a line to make sure that the people are protected. We don't really have that line currently.
Huh. Okay.
We're more concerned about what negative words we apply to the people who did the murder.
Mm.
We got a president's apologizing for that. But not really as concerned,
well,
apparently,
you know,
with the problem.
That guy, he's not illegal. People can't be illegal. He's just a good family man just trying to better his life.
No.
Same with Hamas. They're just good families, you know, that send their kids to blow themselves up.
That's what the coverage seems like. I mean, do we have? A 2-week window, maybe?
Yeah.
Where the coverage seemed like, hey, they really do need a chance to respond to this. And to Biden's very minimal credit, he at least will admit they have the right to defend themselves, though it's a throwaway line now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because he realizes where his bread is buttered, he can't lose these people on his left. And it's like, I don't know. It is a fascinating strategy, but I mean, it is a disgusting strategy. That's
but it's
what
not really a strategy. This is who they are. The strategy here is to not lose the actual decent Democrat, to keep stringing them along.
I do think that is a better strategy, just talking from a political standpoint. Let's say, for example, we didn't have a bunch of women who were raped and their bodies burned for a second and babies decapitated. Let's take that out of the conversation, just talk politics for a second. You'd think, if you're Joe Biden, you have to basically think the AOCs of the world are going to come home. If you're trying to address the Rashida Tlaibs of the world and trying to please them, you're going to lose far more people in the middle with that viewpoint. There are still a lot of Democrats. Obviously, I mean, Jewish American voters largely vote Democrat. You're going to lose some of them. More of them you will lose by this bizarre approach to make it seem like you're going to try to appease in some way Rashida Tlaib.
What's the Muslim to Jew count in places like Michigan and Minnesota?
Certain states you're going to have.
Right.
Those are two swingy states.
Yep. And you lose that vote, and you could very well, you will lose the presidency. And I think that's what, but what I was trying to get to is, you think that they're reaching out to hold on to that base. I don't think they are reaching out to hold on to that base.
Okay.
I think they are that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have to smoke screen it enough not to lose everybody else that's traditionally been with them.
I think that's true. I agree with that. Their approach here seems to be, that's how they started this. That's how I would review Biden's initial response to that, which is, he knows he's got a lot of viewers who support, or a lot of voters who support Israel. He's going to do what he has to do. He had some strong statements in support of Israel. Mm-hmm. He did some things that I thought were okay. And over time, this has just faded. As soon as, you'd think, as you're getting close to a general election, we're now in the general election, basically, that you would want to move to the middle to try to get people who are like, well, like, look, I don't agree with you on all this stuff, but like, I don't know, they should probably have a right to defend themselves. That is just a throwaway line. The overwhelming the point of this now is, Israel's bad. They've gone too far.
So I'd like to know, because I can't figure out what the difference is between Israel and Ukraine. Russia is the worst ever for coming across the border, mm-hmm. killing their people and trying to take the land. Hamas came across the border, killed a bunch of people in horrific, mm-hmm. awful ways, and still are saying, we want the entire country from the river to the sea. Why do we have to run to the aid of one and slow the other one down? Besides one being a Jew and the others not being Jewish, that's the only thing. Because it seems like there's two bad guys, two countries trying to wipe the other off the map. One we're supporting, and the other one we're not. We're better friends with the other one, but we're not doing it for some reason. And the only thing I can find that's a difference is, they're Jewish.
I mean, the only other thing you might be able to throw in there is that one is the underdog and one is not, right? Like, Ukraine is a clear underdog in this fight.
Yeah.
Where I think, you know, in the fight between Israel and Hamas, I expect Israel to win.
So I don't look at Hamas as the underdog, because I look at the billion Muslims all around Israel that would like to kill Israel.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. So
when you talk in a more global scale.
When you talk
scale,
the region.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but, right around this one post office, they're fine. They're fine.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Kash Patel, who is wildly accomplished chief of staff to the Department of Defense, where his responsibilities including implementing the Secretary of Defense mission involving, 3 million plus employees, blah, blah, blah. He went from the Pentagon to serving with Donald Trump. He became the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence. You were the acting DNI, I believe, for a very long time. And, of course, they tried to destroy his life. Kash Patel joins us now. Hello, Kash. How are you?
Yeah, great to be with you, Glenn.
Thank you. All right. I wanted to talk about what just came out with Molly Hemingway this weekend,
mm-hmm.
where we now know that the January 6th committee had testimony from you and several others on what actually happened in the White House on the days leading up to January 6th, where Trump was calling for 10,000 troops to be on the street because he felt that the left was going to act up and actually hurt the people that were coming for these rallies. But they wouldn't do anything about it. They would not take him up on it at all. And that's now proven, and they knew that, but they kept that away from the official report.
Yes, Glenn, just like when the FBI went to a FISA court and lied to them and withheld exculpatory evidence just to target a political opponent and unlawfully surveil him, The January 6th committee took one page out of their book and repeated that same instance of conduct for a propaganda political endpoint. I was in the Oval Office as chief of staff to the DOD days before January 6th. President Trump unequivocally authorized 10 to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women. And why is that important, Glenn? Because only the president can make that authorization. But he is not allowed under the Constitution to deploy the order the deployment, of the National Guard. So what do? We dispatch senior DOD officials to Mayor Bowser, who's in charge of D.C., and the Capitol Police, who are in charge of the Capitol, and reported to Nancy Pelosi at that time. And they, in writing, rejected the use of additional National Guard. Not Donald Trump. They did that. And now we find out 2 years after I testified to the Jan 6 committee demanding a public hearing, and they failed to release my transcript for almost 2 years. A year and a half after that, they released the transcript of Tony Ornato, a career apolitical Secret Service officer assigned to the White House for presidential protection. And what does his transcript say? He confirms that President Trump, days before, authorized the use of 10 to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women, and the chief of staff, myself, the secretary of defense, and the chairman were all in the Oval Office when it happened. This is the exculpatory evidence that Liz Cheney and company have buried for 2 years to achieve a political gain.
So, Cash, we are so corrupt now. You know, people are saying if they could do this to the president of the United States, they'd do it to anybody. Well, they are doing it to many nobodies and anybody. And this has got to stop. It doesn't seem like the mainstream media cares, but at some point it will reach enough ears where people will say, I am afraid of this government, quite honestly. They are everything that they say Donald Trump is. They're already doing it. What do you
say? Their hypocrisy.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Their hypocrisy, as I think you were alluding to, their projection is what they do. And they own the mainstream media. So back when we did Russiagate, and if you tie the threads together of their similar conduct between Russiagate, between FISA, between January 6th, between Hunter Biden's laptop, the 51 Intel letter, just to name a few things, they use the same playbook. Lie as government gangsters, destroy the American faith in the institution, but utilize their partners in the media to make themselves look like the heroes. And I think the breakthrough we are now having is we have proven right each and every one of these instances, the truth.
So, Cash, at some point, the tables turn, and the country is already turning against a lot of this stuff. And you're running a guy who just doesn't, he's not going to win. If it's fair, there's no way he's going to win. It'll be Trump in a landslide, I believe. However, that's if it's fair. However, they don't seem worried about it at all. What is their end game? How do you keep your borders open, have murders happening on our streets, crime on the streets? We're going to have a terrorist attack. It's only a matter of time. What's your exit plan? Because Bubba is going to look at this and go, well, you were the ones who caused it.
I think the exit plan for the radical left wing and mainstream media is Trump derangement syndrome, get him at all costs. What I think we've done over time through your great reporting and your network's amazing reporting of the truth is Americans are saying, wait a second, those things are not right wing conspiracies. That's the truth. The mainstream media lied to me. And I think what President Trump is brilliantly doing is taking that on the campaign trail every day and saying, yes, there's corruption in D.C. Yes, they're rigging presidential elections. But yes, we can defeat them because we are going to win so big that the rig is not going to matter. And every time we put out one of these blockbuster truths, I mean, this is like a Russiagate style reporting blockbuster news day that I'm reporting to you directly with an op-ed to follow. The American people wake up in droves. And I think, maybe I'm naive, but I think that is going to carry the day to solve the corruption in D.C.
I hope so, because it's really, you know, it's disturbing to see how methodical they are. Do you think they knew that January 6th was going to happen?
Yes. I think they not only knew, but the political monsters like Pelosi, Cheney, Kinzinger, Schiff, et al., wanted that political narrative. Why else would you shut down an authorization for National Guardsmen and women? I mean, all you have to do is ask, they keep calling us liars. Just ask yourself this. If President Trump didn't authorize it, then how did me and the Secretary of Defense dispatch senior officials to Pelosi and Bowser's office seeking their request for National Guard? It would have been factually and legally impossible. And they shut it down because they wanted to hang that narrative and have that painting of no climb fence and a militia style downtown Kandahar in downtown Washington, D.C. to achieve their political narrative, which was insurrection. It failed in court, and now it is failing in the court of public opinion because the truth has finally come out that the January 6th committee buried evidence that corroborates what we've been saying for 3 years.
How deep does the corruption in the military and intel go? Did we have incognito special forces on the ground on January 6th?
No. That's not to say a civilian who was a special forces operator didn't himself go. But me and the Secretary of Defense would never have allowed that. That would have broken the chain of command. It's just not what would have happened. And we didn't have that there on that day.
But you, you know the intel. I mean, you were DNI.
Yeah.
The intel industry is doing stuff that you wouldn't have liked or wanted to happen either. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Chris Wray had the intelligence. And just ask yourself this. How is it that Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts knew to board up the windows in and around the Capitol, but the intelligence community and the FBI didn't? Well, as it turns out, Christopher Wray had an intel report saying that there could be violence in and around January 6th. And what did he do? He withheld it. He suppressed it. The calling card of the deep state. As long as your political narrative is advanced, suppress the truth. And that is what they did. And the intel community, top to bottom, isn't corrupt. It's corrupt at the top with a couple of minor players in between. And we can reform that by removing them and putting in the right personnel package.
Did you see the story that came out today about 2022 when Putin was threatening with a nuke and how President Biden, you know, went to the Murdoch's house and was talking to all these people about a briefing he just had about how this is going to become true. And the government went on high alert. Does the government have a responsibility when it's Cuban Missile Crisis kind of crisis to come on television like Kennedy did and explain what's happening?
They do. And a commander in chief with all his faculties should do that. But Joe Biden is not that commander in chief. I don't want him anywhere near a television set because every time he does, he exposes the United States to another national security attack, be it cyber or otherwise, because they put on blast the ineffectiveness and ineptitude of our commander in chief. And right now, we don't need any more of that.
As somebody who's been around the military and in intel for a very long time, what did you make of the opening of his speech on Thursday, where his number one priority right out, I mean, didn't even say the State of the Union is strong or anything. He just went right into we're at war inside and outside of our country, and we must fight it. What do you think he was signaling?
He was speaking to the defense industrial complex that owns the swamp. The state of our union from our commander in chief was the state of the Ukraine. That's what he led out with. And that should never happen. It is a world war of his making. And he is hustling D.C. along with the corrupt politicians who are owned by the defense industrial complex to do one thing, print money and send our men and women overseas to fight yet another war for another person and another political target to achieve victory at home on the political battlefield. Damn the cost in blood and treasure. That's what Joe Biden was doing, putting America last.
And when he talked about Israel, I don't know if you saw the report again that came out today about Joe Biden saying, I'm going to have a come to Jesus meeting with Bibi Netanyahu, which is kind of an awkward sentence to say, but said that, which, you know, Bibi has responded with, I have my own red lines. And then we're building a dock for Gaza and we're going to be delivering food. Does that sound like a good idea?
It is an overt act of aggression. He is building a dock and saying, we're not going to put boots on the ground. So we're going to put boots on planks and wooden boards in the territorial waters of a sovereign nation. Would the United States of America ever stand for anyone building a dock off our eastern seaboard to provide aid for any inner city folks? Absolutely not. It's a violation of domestic, federal statute and international law. It is an act of overt aggression. And the Israelis and the people in Gaza equally are going to be offended and probably take action against it, which is going to harm American men and women in uniform.
And what would we do in response with this commander in chief?
We would unfortunately double down on the fight, and we would be looking at another 20-year Afghan campaign because Iran is flush with cash thanks to Joe Biden. They launched a war in Israel through Hamas, their proxy, and they are buying weapons at a rate that has never been seen before, and Joe Biden is weak on the global stage. All he can do is send men and women to die. So far, 5 American service members killed in that region under his watch, and now he's building a flotilla off the coastline of a world war. Only bad things can happen with Joe Biden at the helm.
I know people have said this since I was a kid. This is the most important election of our lifetime, blah, blah, blah. But lately, it has gotten to be more and more important. And I honestly feel we're at a place that this may be the last election in America if things don't go right and people don't stay calm and everything else. Do you think that's hyperbole?
No, we are at an inflection point because for the first time in forever, it's national security, national security, national security. And America has seen the cost at our border, the cost overseas in the Ukraine and Israel wars, the cost in terms of the CCP in Russia and Al-Qaeda on the rise. They have seen Joe Biden politicize intelligence, the Department of Defense and law enforcement, create a two-tier system of justice to prosecute political targets. And they have seen a total weaponization of our government. And that's why we are at an inflection point come this election. America is seeing that Donald Trump, in my opinion, must be the commander in chief to guide us through all of what we just talked about successfully.
Cash, thank you so much. Cash Patel on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.